Hey everyone, this is the Helping Friendly Podcast. It's Monday morning, October 17th, and I'm here with Jonathan. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey now, how's it going?
Great. We made valiant efforts to do the Quick Hit yesterday from Saturday night's show, but life intervened, and so we're going to talk Saturday and Sunday. Jonathan, what do you think? What do you think of that night two Charleston, especially compared to the first night?
Well, I don't know if I want to compare it to the first night. I think first night had some really good stuff, and
That's fair.
I think night two did as well. I'm sure some people would probably say, well, I wish they hadn't played three big Trey ballads in one show, but I like those songs. I'm not a huge fan of Let Me Lie, but it's fine in the first set. And really everything else they were doing is just there's some great stuff just right out of the gate from the Blaze on through. So what did you think?
Well, I'm disappointed that you wouldn't take the bait, but yeah, I think it was actually much better. I don't know, this is sort of sounds obvious, I think, but like it was much better to listen to than I think what the set list glean the way you could glean from the set list, especially, I mean, the first set was so long. I think that, I mean, there's, I don't know, 15, 17 songs, something like that, and it did seem a little bit like Trey was kind of. It seemed like the first set was like what happens sometimes in the second set. Like Trey kept trying different songs and playing them for, 6, 7 minutes, which in a first set is kind of awesome. And you get by the end of the set with a long, Wolfman's Brother. That's a pretty sweet way to end.
And it was a good Wolfman's Brother, but also they did lengthwise kind of in the right in the Maze intro, which is groovy. The things people do was cool to hear. As a band perform song as opposed to just listen to the demo version we have on the album. I thought it was a great first set, and then Mercury still alive, still out there. I
Yeah,
love that.
you're a Mercury, you're one of the Mercury fan club people.
Yeah, I'm a true believer. And then, so what do you think about "I Always Wanted It This Way" live? We didn't talk about that in our Big Boat episode,
That's
so
a
I'll
good
say I
point.
like the album version. But what did you think about this?
I thought it was the most interesting jam of the night, actually. And I think Drew Fish, who we both know, he commented on it and said sounds like a different sound, and that I definitely heard that, and I thought it was pretty fun to hear another new song that could potentially, lead in different directions in terms of jamming. I feel like they're having so much fun, obviously, especially with the new material, and this seems like could be a source of real, like, new ground being broken in the future.
Well, it's definitely the new sound for sure. Although it sounds like, I don't know, like the New Deal playing a Phish song, maybe, or the New Deal
Right,
playing an
right, right.
LCD Sound System song. You remember the New Deal or
Mm-hmm.
Particle or those bands? It sounded a little bit like those guys. It's just very synth heavy.
Yeah,
Obviously,
exactly. Yeah.
that's what brings them to mind. But I dig it. And you're right. It was a good jam. When I tapped into a little bit of that Saturday night, and my wife turned her head and said, "What is this? What are we listening to?" I was like, "This is Phish." Like, "This is Phish?" I
Right.
think that sums that up
Yeah, it's
pretty
awesome.
well.
Well, I think that, yeah, it was really fun to hear, and I think it's a little bit of a different direction. Maybe it's mostly just Paige, because he's just obviously using some different effects. But it's interesting if you look at the track list from Saturday night. There's several, 9 to 10 minute songs. But I feel like they, as you've said in the past, I think this is like. These are good micro jams. They get there fast, and they push new ground a little bit, and then kind of move on to the next one. So, I think being there would have been really fun. Any other highlights from set two for you?
Well, I mean, I always like Fuego. I thought the sand was good. There was a moment listening to the sand in the car. I was driving, so I may have zoned out a little, but there was a moment where I thought, wait a second, this is. It almost sounded a little like Antelope at one point, kind of late in the jam, and it was just tonally. And obviously, the bass line is kind of still there, and it's not an Antelope, and somebody's going to laugh at this, but it didn't quite feel like sand there for a minute. They transported me, which is, I think, a good thing for that song. Anyways,
Nice.
I like that combination. I thought that was a good pairing.
Well, maybe we should, given that we're doing two shows, maybe we should play some of the I always wanted it this way, now, and then come back and talk about the Sunday show. What do you think?
I think that's a grand idea.
Wonderful. All right, we'll be back in a few minutes. All right, so Jonathan, Sunday, never miss a Sunday show.
That's the rumor.
That's the rumor. Apparently, it was the first time Phish had ever played in Jacksonville, and we wanted to get our friend Jillian on, but couldn't make it work. But we're very happy that she got to go last night and see her first show in a while. But
definitely,
what stood out to you from the first set of last night?
Well, I'm just so proud of Phish. You know, they've been working really hard, and they finally had their Jacksonville debut.
Right. And it's hard to get a date there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's a competitive market. No, but I think it was a good show. I really overall just this is a great three show kickoff to the tour. I think it bodes well for everything that's next, which, you know, you can't trust Fish to necessarily do that, but, you know, to keep going upwards or whatever. But I think they came on strong. Kill Devil Falls. I love that they went back to Nellie Kane. Stash was a little loose in the beginning, but I thought it paid off.
Yeah.
Petrichor again, another. I'm not surprised that we're going to see that almost every venue probably. Mike's song in the first set. I thought I was enjoying the show. What did you think of that first set?
Yeah, it was fun to be listening along. My webcast kept going in and out. I don't know why, Jonathan. I think it's a huge mystery. But it was fun to they seemed to be hopping all over the place. I turned it on like halfway through Kill Devil Falls, and the jam was just really beautiful for a first set opener, Kill Devil Falls. So I thought that was like a really cool opener, and seemed like they were feeling pretty good.
It charged in at like what, 9 minutes or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, pretty solid. I'm really impressed with Petrichor live. I'm not like a, you know, I don't know. I feel like I was slightly skeptical, mostly because I think we're all a little bit scarred from Time Turns Elastic, but
it's a good description.
You know, but it's really cool, and they're playing it well, and it seems like the crowd is reacting well, and so that makes me really happy just to see that making rotation. I think Alex Fish at the Man said today every city gets a Petrichor. It's like the Fuego of 2016, but I don't have a problem with that if I see it. What about you?
I'm ready to see it when they get to Vegas. So hopefully they will have opened up all of the jam sections, and it'll be a 27-minute, somebody's going to curse me for saying this, 27-minute Petrichor.
Yeah.
And but you'll thank me when it's over.
We will. We will. Thanks will be in order for to you. I think we as a community probably are still, you know, getting through the second set and digesting it, but there's a lot of interesting, some interesting jams there. The Crosshead and Painless seem to be a little bit of a theme throughout the set.
Yeah, it cropped up, not as much as they did in the summer, but I like the way it just kind of got into a weird space, and they said they just kicked into steam. I thought that was a very good call.
Yeah, and people are loving the steam based on the reviews I've seen so far, which is pretty great. Some slowdown after the Piper, which is pretty long, and then Wingsuit, yep. And then, you know,
we could and probably should just talk all about the Piper. I think the Piper is kind of a big deal. You know, it's not a late 90s, you know, build at Celerando Piper, but it's, you know, it's the modern, let's jump right in and play Piper kind of version of it. But then they take off, and it's a good jam. I enjoyed it. I'm going to go back to it again later today and try and fully digest it. And I like that it comes in a wingsuit.
Yeah, and you got to go through it a few times before you totally get it, right? That's a good sign of a good jam, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
So, and you don't want to just talk about the Piper just because that happens to be one of your children's names.
No, that's not why.
No. You just like, not because you just like saying Piper. No, it's a really good jam, and the landing into Wingsuit is always a great thing. I'm sure that we're going to hear about fourth quarter, third, and sorry, we said we wouldn't do sports analogies.
Yeah, don't sports my Fish. Come on.
But it just seems like there's, I don't know. I this is you and I being Fish apologists, but like, it doesn't bother me that they play what they want at any part of the show, but after, you know, a solid 40 minutes of jams with Cross-Eyed, Steam, and Piper, they play a few slower songs, and then, you know,
ended up with Sparkle. Really a slower song?
True. I mean, it doesn't have the heady jam.
only at the beginning. Right. Yeah, you're right. It's not a big jam song, but it's not a slowdown. And then Wedge, I'll take the Wedge any day. Perfect or not, jammed or not, I mean, most of them, only a couple of them ever really are jammed, so I'll take Wedge. I love that song.
Yeah, it's a great song. And a lot of people there were loving it, I know. Especially Tom Marshall, who was there. Sure. We played a couple of his tunes toward the end there, which is always fun. Actually, maybe all is sort of almost a full Tom Marshall second set there, which is cool. And I don't know, just a fun little Skynyrd cover at the end, and then a Character Zero, which is one of my favorite closers, just because it's just so rocking, even though it's people make fun of it.
And they have to do Skynyrd. I mean, come on, you're in Jacksonville. It's the right place.
The right place, exactly. Well, Jonathan, what are any other takeaways, or should we send people off with a little clip from last night?
I think people should be excited for Nashville. I think that's the takeaway that I've got right now.
Nice. I love it.
They're not playing poorly, and there's a lot of tour left ahead of us. So
awesome. Very excited. I am super excited for Atlanta, even though it's several shows away, and I'm sure you're excited for Vegas, which must seem like ages from now.
It's forever from now.
We'll get there. We'll get there somehow. And we're going to have a few people on, of course, to help us review the Nashville shows. So hope everyone can tune in on Wednesday morning. We'll be bringing you some stuff from Nashville Part 1.
All right. I'm excited to do that. What are we going to play them from this Jacksonville show?
Maybe it seems like the Piper is worth breaking down and exploring a little bit. Does that sound right to you?
Sounds all right to me, yeah.
Cool. All right, let's do it, and we'll leave you all with some of the Piper from last night, and hope everyone enjoys, and thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you all later this week. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks. Thanks, RJ.
All right, keep on rocking. Thank you.